And welcome now to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland in conversation with a fascinating pianist by the name of Terrence Wilson, who is in Madison to perform with the Madison Symphony. That would be tomorrow night and Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. And the program is an American one, which includes Copland's Appalachian Spring, and it also has the Chairman Dances. That would be John Adams. And also the Romantic Symphony of Howard Hanson, and right in there with that Americana, no less than the Rhapsody in Blue of George Gershwin. And welcome to the midday, Terrence Wilson.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
We could have a fascinating conversation for a long time about all of the finer points of some of the pieces you've played, the repertory that you have, and it would make for a very pleasant afternoon, but we'll have to settle for hearing a fairly generous dose of the original Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue. By original Gershwin, it's a little complicated, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
The original Gershwin, he recorded with the Whiteman Orchestra back in 1924 when the Rhapsody in Blue came out, but the vicissitudes of getting it all on a rather early technological disc, which is to say an early 78, they had to make a lot of cuts, and everybody played really fast.
Yes.
But we do have the Gershwin piano roll, which is actually what we'll be sampling from time to time as we talk. And have you listened to that one recently?
Not so recently, but I am familiar with that recording. Yes.
What do you think of Gershwin's pace in that? Because that is Gershwin recorded with a contemporary orchestra working around it.
Well, who am I to tell Gershwin how to play Rhapsody in Blue? It strikes me as very, very fast. I don't think I've heard anything since quite as fast. But it is nonetheless exciting. And a good window into what his intent was and what he wrote.
There are, I guess, at least three different orchestrations of it. There's the original Ferdi Groffé.
Yes.
From 1924. Then Groffé did another one in 1926. The original was for jazz band, and then
that's
for the
right.
Pitt Orchestra. Uh-huh. And then in 1942 for a symphony orchestra. Is that the one you'll be playing this weekend?
Or
is
that's yet, correct. Yes, that one. Yes.
But still all from the composer of Grand Canyon Suite, providing that orchestration.
Yes, and I won't be taking any cuts, so you'll hear the completely unabbreviated version.
And you've played it many times. Does it vary a little from time to time?
Oh, yes. It's certainly a piece that lends itself well to improv. Not necessarily improv in terms of the notes, but improv in terms of the nuances of timing and coloring in the sound and that sort of thing. I try to recreate the piece every single time I play it as if I were making it up on the spot. It's such an incredibly, well, it just lends itself to that sort of approach.
Do you think that's because of the jazz elements in it?
I think there's certainly an obvious jazz element to it. But there's also, on the more classical side, there are some romantic sensibilities to the piece as well. When the big tune comes in E major that everybody will know, they'll start thinking about taking off on United Airlines and such.
Has it been used for that? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It is. I missed that one.
Oh, yes. It is the United Airlines theme music. Yes.
That may be because it's what, public domain by now, I think.
I think that's right, yeah.
Probably had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But some great Americana, too. Well, shall we just hear a little bit of the beginning of this and get your impressions as we go along.
Absolutely.
Here we go. This is the Gershwin piano roll from the 1920s, 1925, and performing with it would be the Buffalo Philharmonic, or it's actually, yes, let's see. No, I think it's the Columbia Jazz Band performing with it. So here we go. Piano there too, but what do you think so far, Terrence?
Wow, it is stunningly fast, yet impeccable. Uh-huh. I'm impressed by the clarity and the nuance that is captured in that recording. It certainly sets a high standard for me going into the weekend.
And suddenly the MSO going to be ramping up the tempo, you think?
Well, we are, after all, playing a slightly different version, which I think probably deserves appropriately slightly less edgy tempi.
Rhapsody in Blue in particular. I can't think offhand of other cases, although I'm sure they're out there, of a piece where, well, do you want to play it kind of like with White Gloves, or do you want to play it with let's go out and, you know, get some bootleg liquor after the show?
Uh-huh.
You know,
I mean, yeah.
And it may have to do with whether you're doing the jazz band version or the symphonic setting of Grofin.
Yes, that's true. And I think probably the ideal rendering of that piece brings both elements together. I think the piece certainly encompasses all of those different styles, from the very sort of urban Brooklyn, New York, you know, 1920s big band sound, to the dripping with Velveeta cheese from the strings in that very lush E major famous tune that comes about three quarters of the way into the piece. And I think I think the subtleties in balancing those things can be at times delicate and at other times maybe quite not as much so.
You did some rhapsodizing of your own, as we heard the beginning of this, and it was something it never would have occurred to me, but it fit beautifully. Can you revisit that now that we're past that opening clarinet glissand and all that?
Oh, yes. Every time I hear that very opening clarinet solo with that very long glissando up to the top, to me it evokes a picture of a person standing in front of the window, and they've just opened the drapes after a very long, hard sleep on a very lazy Sunday morning. It's kind of like a big yawn, you know, a big yawn and a big stretch on a very lazy Sunday morning. And it takes a little bit of time before things get going, but...
They get going.
But they get going, for sure.
And you speak with some authority, being also, like Gershwin, a New Yorker.
Yes. Well, I believe Gershwin was from Brooklyn. I'm from the other B, the Bronx.
So culturally far removed.
But,
we'll hear some more. Yeah. Thank you. How much fun was that?
That was a lot of fun.
And reminding you, Terrence Wilson, that you have a lot of notes to cover in Rhapsody in Blue when you play with the Madison Symphony this weekend.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, that was inspiring to hear.
How could it not be? I mean, for audience or for the performer. And speaking of performers, well, let me mention again that Terrence will be performing the Rhapsody in Blue with the Madison Symphony tomorrow night. That's Friday night at 7:30 at the Overture Center in Madison, and then Saturday night at 8 and Sunday afternoon at 2:30, along with other items on the program, Copland's Appalachian Spring, John Adams' The Chairman Dances, and Howard Hanson's Romantic Symphony. But before you take off, Terrence, I know you've told this story before, but it's, especially in Wisconsin, is too good to pass up again. And that is this concert that your mother took you to when you were quite young. And it was a classical concert, or at least she thought.
Oh, yeah.
And who was this pianist?
Oh, yes. So for my 10th birthday, and I was getting at that time pretty serious about this piano stuff, and my mother knew that it was important to expose me to some of the great pianists of the time. And so I knew that we were going to hear a pianist, but I didn't know who. I was thinking, well, could we be going to hear Horowitz?
Uh-huh.
Or maybe Richard Good or Murray Pariah? After all, one thing that I have in common with those two is that we're all from the Bronx. So I thought maybe I could be going to hear Richard Good. Well, when we came out of the limousine and arrived at Radio City Music Hall, I knew something was odd. And when we settled into our seats and in flew Vladiu Valentino Liberace.
It was a different thing.
It was a different thing, but it was entertaining nonetheless and wonderful. Actually, he was really quite a pianist.
Was he?
Yes, he really was. He really, you know, well, for his shtick, you know, he certainly had a niche.
He did.
And he took it all the way to the bank, as he would tell you.
Did the young Terrence Wilson get some showbiz ideas from the flamboyant Liberace?
Oh, No, probably not so much. But you know, what is funny, though, is several years later, I would be invited to the Cabrillo Festival in Santa Cruz, California, to play a piece with Marin Alsop and the Cabrillo Festival Orchestra, mm-hmm. a piece by the American composer Michael Dougherty, who was known for writing pieces inspired by Americana.
The Tombo de Liberace.
Yes, and they asked me to play Le Tombo de Liberace by Michael Dougherty. So at the end of the day, my mother truly was onto something.
Ahead of her time.
Ahead of her time, and ahead of mine, too.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure spending time with you, Terrence Wilson. And if you'd like to see and hear more of him, it's the Madison Symphony this weekend with George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Pleasure to see you.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
We'll have our quiz question right after this here on WPR.